Okay, we are going to continue our series today on to maturity. And just a quick review, we've been studying this together for the past multiple weeks. We've talked about faith, we've talked about goodness, we've talked about knowledge, we've talked about self-control, we've talked about perseverance, we've talked about godliness, and today's topic, the next one on the list, is mutual affection. You know, if you think about these characteristics that we are studying out, they really are mostly internal qualities. You know, all of them have an external component to them, but they really are internal things. And I think the point is that we're trying to grow to make sure that we are real Christians, that we're genuine, we're the real deal. I think sometimes people put so much energy in trying to be perceived as a Christian instead of just putting their energy into actually being a Christian. And so that's what we're talking about here, is we want to be genuine. We want to be the real deal. So let's dive into our text here, and then we'll get into our lesson. Here's the text that we've been using. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. It says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in His divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." This is an amazing verse, full of so much depth and so many things for us to learn. And what I love is it gives us some really amazing promises. It's saying if these possessions that, I mean, these qualities, that if you possess these in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what an amazing promise. But then it also gives us the other side of it, which is if you don't have these qualities, you are nearsighted and blind, and you've forgotten what God has done for you. And so there's both sides of this. Of course, we're studying this out because we don't want to be nearsighted and blind. We want to have these qualities. We want to possess these qualities in increasing measure, and so that we will grow and never be ineffective or unproductive in our knowledge of Jesus. So that's why we're doing this. In short, we want to grow on to maturity. So let's take a look at tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is mutual affection. Again, we have looked at faith, we've looked at goodness, we've looked at knowledge, we've looked at self-control, we've looked at perseverance, we've looked at godliness, and tonight we are looking at mutual affection. Some other Bibles, English Bibles, translate it as brotherly kindness, maybe you've heard that, or even brotherly affection. The Greek word here that is translated as mutual affection in English is actually a Greek word that looks like and sounds very similar to the word Philadelphia. And that makes sense because the city of Philadelphia is actually named from this Greek word, the same word that we're studying out here, because the city of Philadelphia is known as what? The city of bad football teams. Just kidding. It's known as the city of brotherly love. That wasn't brotherly love, was that? And but that's what the word means, and the city of Philadelphia is actually named from the Greek word that we're looking at right now. And it means just kind of what it sounds like. It means love which Christians cherish for each other as brothers and sisters in the faith. And so that's what we're going to study out tonight. This word actually appears in 5 verses. We just read one of them in 2 Peter chapter 1. And so we're going to take the rest of our class here and look at the other 4. And as we study out the same word in other contexts, it'll give us sort of a rounder picture of exactly what that word means and what we can take from it and how we can grow onto maturity. So let's look at the first one here. It's in Romans chapter 12. This is verses 9 through 12. It says this, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So here we see this scripture is talking about mutual affection, and mutual affection appears there in verse 10. It says, be devoted to one another in love. And that word love there is the same word that's translated as mutual affection. And so you get a lot of direction in this passage and a lot of insights in what does that mean. Well, one of the things that we can see that it means from this passage is, or that is part of mutual affection, is this: devotion. Devotion is part of mutual affection. It says, be devoted to one another in love. Now, I was reviewing my notes from this from another time that I had taught this class. And as I was reviewing these notes, I asked the class, are you devoted? And in that, I went through and I saw all these examples I gave. I gave things like, are you devoted? Do you go to church on Sunday? Do you go to Bible talks? Do you go to midweeks? Are you teaching in the children's ministry? And as I looked at my notes from before, I thought, wow, up until a couple weeks ago, you know, we had some very clear metrics on how we often as a church measured devotion. And often it was just based on your attendance. Are you here? Are you there? We're getting together. Are you at that? You know, and that's a lot of what we judged devotion on. But now, you know, now we're in this crazy situation where those metrics are being taken away. They're gone. You know, I mean, I know we still have church online. We're having church right now online, but it's not like it was before. You know, all of the ways that we measured devotion, many of them aren't there right now. And so the question then I had to ask myself is this, so what do we do? Do we get rid of devotion then? Is it just not required right now? Or is it possible that we need to dig deeper into the scriptures and get a deeper look at what devotion really means? I mean, certainly devotion is about being together when the body comes together. You know, certainly that is part of it. And we're doing it online, as I said, and we're doing the best we can with what we have at this point. But certainly there's got to be more to devotion than just attending things, right? And so I started looking more at the scripture, and it actually just says it right there. It says there in verse 10, be devoted to one another in love or mutual affection. And the very next sentence says, honor one another above yourself. And so there's a way that we can be devoted to each other. There's a way that we can have mutual affection, is honoring each other above ourselves, is lifting other people up. And that doesn't always have to be bound by our geography. I was so encouraged this past week because it was my birthday. Happy birthday. Thank you. Appreciate it. But I got a bunch of birthday messages from people that I didn't even know knew that it was my birthday. In fact, I got one of those online birthday boards where people can post birthday messages, and then they appear on sort of a public online board, and then I can read them. And that was totally a surprise. I didn't know, I didn't see that coming. And when I got that, I was so encouraged. I mean, I was reading through all the things that people were saying. I felt honored. I felt the mutual affection and the devotion of my brothers and sisters. It was an amazing example of being able to experience mutual affection with each other. And so that's just an example of how we can take our devotion even deeper, especially during these times when we may not be able to do the things that we've been so used to doing before. We've got to find new ways to be devoted to each other, to express our mutual affection. It goes on. And there's more. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And so, I mean, even that's a great definition of devotion. Devotion to each other comes first in our devotion to God and being committed 100% to God. And that is something we can do no matter where we are. We can keep our spiritual fervor. And then it goes on, even in verse 12, and it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. We're certainly in a worldwide affliction right now. We can be patient, it says. And then it even goes on to say, be faithful in prayer. You know, I have been, you know, I was trying to figure out how I could serve and love and be devoted to each other while we were separated physically from each other. And early on when this was happening, one of the first things I realized is I could pray for everybody. Specifically, we set up this bkprayers.com where we're putting all of our COVID-related prayers. And I have not missed a day of praying for everybody on that list. And I'm not saying that to elevate myself or to honor myself above anybody. I'm just saying that I've been searching for new ways to be devoted. You know, new ways that I can love people and share mutual affection when I can't actually be around people. And so trying to do what this says, be faithful in prayer. And so my point is to encourage you and to help you understand that mutual affection requires devotion. And devotion, we may need to be rethinking devotion and what that means. Not rethinking it in that we're going to become less devoted, but rethinking on how we display our devotion, especially since many of the tools that we have understood devotion to be just aren't available to us right now. So we've got to grow deeper, mature, and grow in our mutual affection, because mutual affection requires devotion. All right, let's move on. The next verse, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 through 10. It says, now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. Mutual affection should be expansive. We just learned mutual affection requires devotion, but we also see from this passage that mutual affection should be expansive. So what's going on here? Paul is writing a letter to the church in Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a city, just like our city. You know, it was a city where there was a church. And he's writing a letter to the church in Thessalonica, and he's encouraging them because of their love. There, it's right there in verse 9. He talks about now about your love. That is that Greek word that's also translated mutual affection. He's writing to them about their love, for all the brothers and sisters, but he specifically says, you know, that you love God's family throughout Macedonia. Macedonia was the region that Thessalonica was in. It's the equivalent of, you know, we live in New York City, but we also live in the state of New York. And so what he's saying is that their mutual affection was expansive. It wasn't just in their hometown of Thessalonica, but they loved all of the churches, all of the brothers throughout the whole region. I want to challenge you to have close friends in Brooklyn, people you love, people you have mutual affection for. But I also want to challenge you to have close friends outside of Brooklyn, people that you have mutual affection for, people that you care deeply about. I'm not saying that everybody is going to be your best friend. That is impossible. But I am saying that you do need to have close friends, people that you share mutual affection for, people you love deeply, this kind of brotherly, sisterly love that we're talking about, this sort of devotion. You need to have people like that right here in Brooklyn. But you can't limit it to that because mutual affection is expansive, not just in your town, but in your whole area. I would encourage you to have relationships, to maintain relationships, to build relationships outside of Brooklyn, all the different boroughs where we have ministries, all of the suburbs, all throughout the state, throughout the country. We live in a time, especially now, where we're able to connect with each other so easily outside of our little circles. Use that and build and strengthen and renew relationships that you had in the past that are outside of your immediate circle. Why? Because mutual affection is expansive. I love Randolph James and Shirley Thomas and all the brothers who do this fishing trip that they do. I want to say it's once a year, but I think it's more often than once a year. It's a couple times a year, I think. I went on it one time. It's pretty hardcore. I mean, we got up early in the morning. We went out on a boat into the middle of the ocean. You know, listen, I loved the mutual affection there. Now, I told Randolph, you know, it's really not for me, this fishing thing. We can have mutual affection maybe at a diner or something. That would be cool for me. But whether I'm there or not, I love that they do it. I love it because it is about fishing, but it's really about the mutual affection, the brotherly love between the brothers. And it's not just brothers in Brooklyn. It's brothers outside of Brooklyn as well. There's guys that come from other places that join them regularly. And it's not just even brothers. It's sisters as well. I mean, it's really a camaraderie, a deep love for each other that really pulls them together. And I love that. And it was so inspiring to me to see that and to be a part of that. And it's encouraging. And that's what I'm talking about. That's the mutual affection, the brotherly love, the brotherly kindness, the sisterly kindness and love that the Bible is talking about. Our mutual affection needs to have some devotion, and it needs to have some expansiveness as well. Let's look at the next one. This one's pretty short and pretty simple. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. And this is another place where this Greek word shows up. It says, Hebrews 13:1, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. So mutual affection, it requires devotion. It should be expansive. And mutual affection is continual. It's continual. It means it doesn't stop. He says, keep on loving one another. Don't stop. When things are difficult, when you have problems, when you have conflicts, and you will, and we do, we're people and we're different. We will have collisions, but still keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Mutual affection is continual. It doesn't stop. Is there anybody in the church right now that you've quit on? Is there anybody in the church, maybe because the relationship was too hard, or maybe there were too many conflicts? Is there anybody that you've quit on? You and I have to be people of mutual affection. We got to keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't give up on each other. Don't give up. We have problems. We have collisions. We have struggles. And sometimes we may need a break from each other. Hey, Paul and Barnabas had a collision, and they went different ways because they had a disagreement. But you later see them coming back together. So there may be times when you need a break from somebody. I get it. I understand. But you don't stop loving them. You don't give up on them. You don't quit on them. You keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Mutual affection is continual. Let's look at one more. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. It says, "Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart." Love one another deeply from the heart. There again, that Greek word that is translated mutual affection in other places in our earlier text also appears here. Mutual affection, it requires devotion. It is expansive. It is continual. But I think probably the most important part is it starts with God. Mutual affection for each other starts with God. It starts with our connection with Him. That's what this verse is saying. It's saying God is first. You got to get this in the right order. And He's saying, now that you've purified yourself by obeying the truth, now that you've cleansed yourself, now that you are right with God and you've worked out your spiritual connection with God, now that you have that in place, now go love each other deeply from the heart, genuinely, for real, love each other. And so that teaches us that the secret to loving each other is connecting with God first. And it may seem obvious, but man, this is something that we mess up so often. This is something that breaks down so quickly sometimes. Sometimes the root of our conflicts with each other can be traced back to just a weak walk with God. If I'm not doing well with God, if I'm not praying, or if I'm not staying close to God, I'm not humbling myself before Him and feasting off His word regularly, I become irritable. I become spiritually hungry and grumpy and cranky, and then my human relationships begin to fall apart. And so what we can see by looking at this verse is that true mutual affection comes first from our connection with God. How is your walk with God? Is it deep? Well, then your relationships with each other will begin to be deep. Or is your walk with God weak? Because if it's weak, then your relationships with each other will begin to be weak. Listen, what we're doing here, this is not a social club. You know, we don't gather like this, whether it's in real life or it's virtually on the internet. We don't gather because we just have nothing else to do. We gather because we have all been individually called by God. You know you were called. You know how God reached out, taught you the scriptures, studied the Bible with you, baptized you. And if that hasn't happened to you yet, then, you know, talk to us. We can help that happen to you. But you know how God grabbed you and changed your life, and pulled you into His church. And the collective group of us together who have been changed by God is what makes up His church. And then from there, we begin to develop love and relationships with each other. We don't gather just to gather. We gather for God. And because we all share that in common, we then become close to each other and we develop a mutual affection, a brotherly, sisterly love for each other. So let us add to our faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, mutual affection. And then let our mutual affection be full of devotion. Let our mutual affection be expansive. Let our mutual affection be continual. And let us understand that our mutual affection for each other begins first with our connection with God. And let's pull all of this together and let us grow onto maturity. Thank you.